You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and we're talking about audiobooks. The digital audiobook market has seen double-digit annual growth over the past decade, and U.S. publishers reported audiobook sales last year totaled almost $1 billion. A survey earlier this year by the Audio Publishers Association found a full half of all Americans age 12 and older have listened to an audiobook or a podcast. So are you in this camp? What genre do you enjoy? When and where do you listen to audiobooks? We're at 800-642-1234. Join in with your questions, your recommendations. Robin Witten is founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine, which reviews and recommends audiobooks. She started the magazine in 1992, and she's here with a curated shortlist of her favorite audiobook finds for 2019. Robin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
So your passion for audiobooks goes back decades. What first got you hooked on audiobooks?
Well, I think the thing that got me hooked is that I was hooked on audiobooks. I was a listener, and I thought, wow, this is a terrific medium. Why am I sitting in the car long after I've gotten it to my destination? There's something very special here.
Yeah, and you know, some would say, well, audiobooks, it's not like reading a traditional book. It's not the same thing. How do you approach that?
Well, I say, yes, it's not the same thing. You get more often with your audiobooks, whether it's an author reading or a sense of the rhythm and the pace of the story in a different way, dialogue, dialects, different difficult words, and the whole sense of storytelling, the sense of being taken away by a narrator into the author's work, into the story.
You kind of see it as a sensory experience.
I do, and it is a performance medium. So, just like theater or live music, I always felt that we should be reviewing that aspect of the audiobooks. What is the listening experience?
And is that really how your magazine got started back in the 90s?
It really is. It really was trying to focus on finding really great performances and highlighting the aspects of the listening that people could look for and enjoy in particular.
Robin, how have you seen technology change and evolve in the decades since we have seen audiobooks really take hold?
Well, the exciting part of the changes in the digital, in the formats, is that with a digital audiobooks and audiobooks being in your phone or on your home device, they go everywhere with you. So there's no more looking around for the lost cassette or the CD that slipped down something.
Don't you remember those really big, like, box-like things where, you know, you had the cassette tapes and they were clicked into each of the little pieces of the box?
Yes. And there was always one missing right at
right.
the critical
oh, yeah.
moment.
Or one of the tape got spilled on and ruined, and then you had to go to the next one.
Right. So now audiobooks are with you all the time, and it will pick up right where you are. If you go from your car into the house, you can and you pick it up on one of your home devices, it will pick up where you were. It's made it a seamless performance, which of course is the way the publishers intended it, and the narrators the creation of that performance.
How are, I wonder, audiobooks infused into your life? Where do you find yourself listening?
Well, I often find myself listening on the go, which can be anything from being in the car to walking the dog and doing errands. You know, I just have it with me, my book with me for the end, and it goes everywhere. I also like cooking while I'm cooking by myself, not with too much else going on, mm-hmm. so I can pay attention to both the recipe and the book. But there's a lot of people do listen at home now.
We're talking with Robin Witten. She's founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, which reviews 50 audiobooks a week, and she's brought us her short list for best audiobooks of 2019. You can weigh in. Do you have an audiobook you're following right now? What is it? Tell us about it, 800-642-1234. Tell us about your favorite audiobook and what you loved about it. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Well, Robin, let's dig in with memoirs. You've said that new listeners will often seek out memoirs as kind of a gateway to their first audiobook. What is it about this genre that really draws first-time listeners?
Well, I think sometimes memoirs are read by their authors. So you get to hear an author's voice. And that is, you know, that is something that you would never get with in the print edition. I mean, you know, hearing an author talk about their story and about their lives is very special. And that sometimes you in an audiobook, this is what you have as well. So, you know, there's, and sometimes it's a professional narrator, but I think that hearing the personal story is a way that listeners often approach audiobooks for the first time.
Tell us about the memoir Trailblazer by Dorothy Butler Gillam. This follows her life as the first Black female reporter and columnist for The Washington Post.
Yes, so that's an interesting memoir. It is actually narrated by January Lavoie, who is a fantastic narrator, one of the Audiophile magazine's golden voices, as we call them.
And she's also an actress, is that right?
She is.
On One Life to Live, yeah.
Yes, and she's now a teacher at Emory University in the drama department. But she is really, you know, the whole idea of a narrator is to get behind the story. So when you hear Trailblazer, as a listener, I believe that this is Dorothy telling me her story. You know, it's absolutely seamless because I've never heard Dorothy's actual voice. So January becomes that voice. And to me, this is her story.
Another memoir on your list is Forever and Ever Amen by country music icon Randy Travis. And let's hear narrator Rory Feek, who also, I believe, happens to be a country singer and songwriter.
Get up on this horse, Randy, Daddy urged me. An unusually skillful horse trainer, my dad taught the horse to kneel down on its front knees so I could climb into the saddle. I scrambled to place my foot into one of the stirrups and threw my leg over the beautiful animal as Daddy took a photograph.
What makes this book special as an audiobook?
Well, I think, you know, it is such a heartfelt story that is a very difficult story, an honest story, but, you know, one of great hope and faith. And that really resonates with listeners.
We heard that clip there. How do you think Rory Feek, the narrator, really gets into the Randy Travis as we know it through his story?
Well, I think, you know, that's what, you know, the actor is charged with, is to try to get inside the head of the writer and to be behind the story and to be a bit transparent so that there's not, we're not thinking about Rory Feek, we're thinking about Randy Travis, so that we're believing immediately that is Randy Travis telling that story.
We're talking about notable audiobooks from 2019 with Robin Witten as our guide. She's founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. Do you have an audiobook you're following right now? What is it? Tell us about it. What is your favorite audiobook? What did you love about it? Who voices it? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back with Robin Witten in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're exploring a curated list of recommended audiobooks for 2019. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So the rise of audiobooks isn't showing any signs of slowing down. They go where we go, on the commute, at the gym, maybe while cooking dinner, doing a hobby. But there's still that stigma out there, that ongoing debate over the legitimacy of audiobooks as air quotes here, real books. Do you love listening to the classics, or are you following new stories and authors? Do you not listen to audiobooks? Why is that? Join in 800-642-1234. Audiophile Magazine's founder and editor Robin Witten stays with us for this look back at the year in audiobooks. Let's bring in a call now. Tim is joining us from Delavan. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I just like to say I use Overdrive in the Wisconsin Public Library System, and I listen to a lot of books because I put on a lot of miles.
What are you listening to now, Tim? Besides us,
I listen to you guys every morning. But Matterhorn is a novel about the Vietnam War.
It
just takes you there. You can smell the gunpowder and feel the pain and the suffering of these men in war. It's horrible, but it's a phenomenal novel. And it just takes you there. It's one of the best books that I've read or heard in a long time that just takes you there, just grips you and moves you, makes you scream with pain. I mean, it's horrible. And then David McCullough, 1776, if you want to know about how this country was founded and the luck that took place in founding this country, it's pretty cool. Real cool book.
So sounds like, Tim, you really gravitate to history, historical books. Robin, what do you make about Tim's takes there?
Well, I like both of those choices, and I think I'd recommend there's a new history book on our list this year from Rick Atkinson called The British Are Coming, which is, I think it's located mostly in New England rather than New York, which is where 1776 is focused. But I think you'd like it, Tim.
Tim, have you picked that one out yet?
No, I haven't. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to put it on hold if it's in the library system.
Put it on hold. Make it on your list.
You get a lot of books for free. It's so cool. You just get a lot of books for free, and there's so many, and there's so many subjects. Like the Poisoner's Handbook, that was another one. That was great. I mean, when you want to talk about food safety in this country, holy cow. It's just pretty cool.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Sue now in Saukville. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I would just like to say I love to go back and forth. I'll do a self-help by like Rachel Hollis for kind of getting your crap together, and then I'll do a little sweet candy, a little romance on another time, and just go back and forth between them.
I love it. Sue, thank you so much. Robin, what do you make of those genres?
Oh, well, those are all popular. You know, there are followers for everything from romance to self-help to feel-good books and nonfiction, culture, history. And I think mystery is probably, we must have some mystery listeners out there, because that's often the most popular of the genres with listeners.
Robin, do you have a favorite mystery or suspense novel for this year?
Well, I tend to like fairly quirky little stories. I mean, I like a lot of mystery, but there's one by British author Mick Herron called The Marylebone Drop, which is just a small little, almost a novella of a story that is about a little encounter with a spy, it's a little Jean Le Carré-like, but very tidy. It's only about 2 hours, and it's beautifully read by Gerard Doyle, who is one of those storytellers who, wherever the story is going, you're going to stay with him. You just stay locked on to the story.
You also picked out The Accomplice by Joseph Cannon.
Yes, that's a very new book this fall. Jonathan Davis, the narrator, has a great facility with accents, and there are many accents in The Accomplice, a lot of German, American accents mixed in, Argentine and various South American accents, and, you know, all with people in conversation at the same time, where, you know, you really need to know who's speaking. And Jonathan does a magnificent job with that.
And so this is set in 1962 in Nazi Germany?
No.
Exactly. Okay.
No, no. It's after. It's about an old man who is searches for Nazi war criminals.
Oh, gotcha.
In his whole life, he's looked for a particular doctor, and he sees them, and then has a heart attack. So it's taken up by his nephew, this search for a elusive war criminal who was supposed to be dead. So they go, it's, you know, sort of classic globetrotting, but a great spy story.
Let's bring in Kim now in Eau Claire. Hi, Kim.
Good morning. I just finished for the second time a book called Thunder Below. And it's a story about a U.S. submarine in World War II called the USS Barb. And the Commander Flukey was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And the USS Barb was the most highly decorated submarine in World War II. Just an extremely interesting book about all of the trials and tribulations of the equipment. And Commander Flukey actually was an inventor of some of the new stuff that was transcended that war for submarines.
So do you kind of gravitate to military history, Kim?
I do. I'm listening to one right now. Well, there was one called The Higher Call. And the one I'm listening to right now, the title slips my mind, but it was near the end of World War II, and they grabbed one of the American pilots and sent him back into Poland behind Russian lines, auspiciously to recover downed bombers, but he was actually trying to rescue U.S. prisoners of war that had been released by the Russians, but the Russians considered all prisoners of war to be cowards and not worthy of saving. So they had no help at all from the Russians, and he was in behind enemy lines trying to recover our POWs while the Russians tried to stymie him all the way along the line.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for that recommendation. Robin, it seems like we're getting a tug from military history here.
Really, really interesting. And it is, I think, one of the things that's so fascinating is that, you know, you find out, you may know a little bit about an episode that happened during a war campaign, but when you listen to the audiobook, you get so much background and context. That makes it so rich, and you learn so much.
Let's bring in Eve now in Johnson Creek. Hi, Eve. Can you hear us, Eve?
Yes, I can. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Yes, so the thing was, you're a little garbled here, but it sounds like you gave up audiobooks, but you gave them a second try. You didn't like them before. Now you like them.
I did. I gave them a try about 8 years ago and didn't care for them. And I gave it a try again after public radio had talked about them. And now I'm just absolutely fell in love with them. And I wished I would have been doing it the whole time. And now our Johnson Creek Library has Overdrive, like the other caller had mentioned. And I mean, I walked in and got Where the Crawdads Sing, where I would have had the wait list for, I think, was over 400.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I love audiobooks, and I just can't say enough about them. I also commute about 30 minutes every day one way, so it's an hour drive in my vehicle, and I feel like I'm doing something and accomplishing something.
Eve, thank you so much for the call. Robin, do you have any recommendations for Eve?
Well, I think the Crawdads, that's a wonderful story and so atmospheric. And, you know, you feel we're all in winter now, so you can get a sense of a little warmer climate in the swamps of the Carolinas. It really takes you there. And I think that it's always good to get recommendations from the librarians or from Audiophile, because we're trying to make sure that every title that Eve picks up is a good one.
Absolutely. One I want to make mention of is First, Sandra Day O'Connor, a biography of her. Let's listen.
As a girl, Sandra would climb Round Mountain with her father, careful to avoid the rattlesnakes. The future justice could stand at the peak and see and feel the vastness and ancientness as well as the forbidding desolation and living wonder of her family's domain.
So that's a voice there of Kirsten Potter. What do you make of that?
Well, I love that that audiobook. I think you get a great sense of her power. I mean, as she comes into her power and her thoughtfulness, very, very interesting. And of course, it's a switch from what we heard a minute ago, since that's a biography, so it's in the third person, whereas we heard basically Randy Travis telling his own story a few minutes ago.
We're on a Best of Audiobook Tour of 2019 with Audiophile Magazine's Robin Witten as our guide. Let's talk narrators. Who are some of your favorite narrators? What makes a good audiobook narrator? What's something you don't like about them? Be part of the conversation. Your audiobook critiques, suggestions, all welcome. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up with Robin Witten right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're looking back at the notable audiobooks of the past year. Bit of history here. According to the Audio Publishers Association, the audiobook industry picked up steam in the 70s. Libraries started stocking audiobooks in that decade. It became common for bookstores to carry audiobooks by the mid-80s. And as I say, the rest is history. What is your favorite audiobook genre? Do you love mystery? Is it romance? Is it self-help? Is it horror? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Our guide is Robin Witten. She's compiled a curated list of recommended audiobooks for this year, and she's founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. We heard from Katrina from Grand Chute, called in, couldn't stay with us, Robin, and Katrina recommended the King James Bible and says that even though it isn't a recent title, it has been recorded by famous actors. Is yes. Katrina right about that?
Yes, yes, indeed. There actually are several recordings of the Bible and different versions. But it, you know, is always a favorite for listeners, and you can revisit, you know, parts of it. It's great.
A
classic.
How many hours do you happen to know offhand?
I wouldn't know, but you know, plenty of time for lots of driving or chores or whatever.
Katrina also wanted to know a recommendation. She's got an appetite for a really good mystery. What would you tell her?
Oh, for a mystery. I think if she likes to have thrillers, I'm not sure. There are lots of sort of cozy mysteries. But there's also, like, Harlan Coben has a wonderful title this year called Runaway. With the actor Steven Weber is reading that. Pretty much if she's got a favorite mystery writer, I am sure that his or her books are on audio, because there's so many audiobooks being published now simultaneously with the hardcovers.
One of your recommendations on your list is Full Throttle by Joe Hill, who is the son of the legendary writer Stephen King. Full Throttle basically takes us through a variety of interesting stories. Let's take a listen to a part of Late Returns.
There was usually a herd of sinewy, haunted-looking mothers waiting with their children to stampede the bookmobile. But today, no one emerged. The cold, grimy mist billowed along the concrete walkways facing the building. It looked like a set in a movie about the apocalypse.
So that's narrated by Will Wheaton, is that right?
That's right. And that's a wonderful story. We've been talking about libraries. So that's a story about a young man who takes a job driving a bookmobile. But, you know, it evolves into not quite the same. He's not in the same world as the people who are coming into the bookmobile. And it's lots of fun. But the whole collection in Full Throttle is a great example of what audiobooks can offer, because I think there are 11 stories in the collection, short stories, and there are 11 different narrators who take them on. So you have that one is Will Wheaton. Another one is read by Neil Gaiman. Mm. There's Kate Mulgrew reads one, and Joe Hill reads one, and also has a lovely tribute to his parents in the beginning, in the introduction. He reads just the loveliest overview and talking about how he grew up with stories and the encouragement of reading stories aloud and with his parents, with his very famous parents.
And these are bite-sized stories, basically, and so you can really listen to this audiobook in pieces.
Indeed you can, and they all will keep you up at night. So if you have a long drive, that's a good one.
Well, let's talk children's literature here. You have Charlotte's Web on your list, E.B. White, read by Meryl Streep.
Fern looked at her father. Then she lifted the lid of the carton. There, inside, looking up at her, was the newborn pig. It was a white one. The morning light shone through its ears, turning them pink.
Oh, my goodness, Robin. Oh, this takes Charlotte's Web to a whole new level.
It does indeed. It does indeed. I mean, to have Meryl Streep doing the main narration and then the addition of the cast of narrators who do the animals. So we hear Wilbur, we hear Charlotte with all the barnyard animals. It's fantastic. It's one of the best choices for family listening, for gifts for the holidays, and, you know, such a sort of revival of a wonderful classic.
I was looking through your best lists from previous years, and it reminded me that there is a lot of children's literature that really can translate. You had recommended way back in 2012, Toothy Anna, which is by William Joyce. And I'm laughing because Bill Joyce happens to be a dear friend of mine, but he wrote the Guardian series. And, you know, in your circles, you try to keep up with these people. And Toothy Anna came out when my kids were really little, and I was like, I'm going to try it. Well, I was hooked, and my kids were too little to be hooked. But, you know, there is a way to bring literature to children through these audiobooks.
Oh, absolutely. And oftentimes you can listen with young children, and they may not understand everything that is going on in the story, but I mean, Charlotte's Web is a perfect example. Is you know, how can you not listen to Meryl Streep's voice? How can you kind of go with the story because that storyteller is compelling you along? It sounds exciting, even for the youngest children. You know, as if, you know, you're reading aloud to them. But this is a different kind of a storyteller.
Well, let's go on here. We have The Death and Life of Ida Hernandez, and this is narrated by Frankie Corzo. Let's talk about the book a little bit here, The Death and Life of Ida Hernandez. Who is she?
So Ida Hernandez was... In 1987, she was a young girl at age 8, and was deported into Mexico. And this is her story. And I think what is particularly moving about this is that Frankie Corzo, who we've talked to recently on a podcast interview, said that she felt, because her own heritage, her first generation in this country, is just, she resonated so strongly with this story and felt it was so important. So there's the emotional quotient of the story of Ida, but also with this narrator who is telling, who has that emotional caring and connection to the story.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it. Yeah. Mm.
Residents just a few years older than Camilla and Ida remembered a time when kids played pickup baseball games spanning both sides of the line. Home plate, marked by a plastic bag, lay in a scrub field on the U.S. side, while Agua Prieta's Calle Internacional formed the outfield.
Oh, I can see how she takes that on.
She does. She does. And, you know, it becomes such a real story in sound. And that's what, you know, I think that's why we pick a lot of these titles, because there's something more that you get when you listen to the story. I mean, I would not get the pronunciation of the words in my head. I wouldn't hear it, but I do hear it with Frankie Corso.
Talking with Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, which reviews and recommends audiobooks. And she started this project, this magazine, in 1992, and she's bringing us her curated list of 2019. Let's look at an author we recognize pretty widely, Margaret Atwood, with The Testaments. This is read, let's see here, who is reading The Testaments? I don't think I have that. Margaret Atwood is actually part of it, I know.
She is part of it. And this is a great, we have several actors who are reading, as well as the author, Ann Dowd, Bryce Dallas Howard, Mae Whitman, and then Derek Jacobi and Tentu Cardinal are in reading parts of the story, as well as Margaret Atwood, who reads the author's notes, and then she also reads the sort of chapter headings.
Is that common for an author to do that?
That's one of the nice additions in audiobooks, is oftentimes there will be an author's note, and then you're hearing the author, or an introduction. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's, you know, it's better. I think the balance here is you have a spectacular cast of actors who are actually performing the main body of the story, and Atwood comes in at sort of authorial points.
Mm. On a tour of recommended audiobooks of 2019, thanks to Robin Witten, who is with Audiophile magazine, what are some of your favorite authors? What would you like to hear about their writing? What book do you wish would become an audiobook? Do you notice abridged audiobooks? How do you feel about them? Be part of the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Robin Witten here on the Ideas Network. On a Friday, we've got audiobooks on our mind as we get recommendations for 2019. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So this is a culmination of a year of listening curated by Audiophile magazine. We're talking this hour about recognizing all the work that goes into them, the narrators, the directors, the producers, the publishers who bring us memorable audio experiences. Audiobooks are in a growth area for the publishing industry, with sales in 2018 nearing the $1 billion mark. Do you listen to them? When do you listen to them? Is it in the car or at home? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Robin Witten is our guide. She's founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. So, Robin, we heard from Monica in Waukesha, called in, couldn't stay with us, and Monica said that Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell is really good and has live interviews in the audiobook. So instead of hearing the same voice all the time, you hear some of the people that he spoke to and actor portrayals, like kind of layering it in.
Really interesting, because of course that's something that enlivens the audio listening. It's really, you know, and you hear Gladwell, it's almost as if it's one of his podcasts, that, you know, several episodes of that, but it's, you know, there are layers of performance that are in and production that have been put into the program.
Speaking of podcasts, how do you think the whole podcast world has influenced audiobooks?
Well, I think a lot of the younger listeners also listen to podcasts, and so I think that that's a habit that we have. If you listen a lot, you listen to radio, you listen to podcasts, and then you listen to books because that's one of the things you do. And I think you see a lot of overlap.
Your ears want to fix.
There you go.
Well, let's look at another book on your list that caught your attention. It's Akin by Emma Donahue, read by Jason Culp.
Yeah.
So, a trip to France. That'll be something to brag about. Michael shook his head, pained. No, my teacher will tell the whole class and they'll be like, oh, that dude thinks he's all that. The perpetual cruel dynamics of childhood. Every tall poppy slashed down.
That's brilliant. What is Akin about?
Well, we've dropped into a conversation between a retired professor who is almost late 70s, who has taken sort of a trip of a lifetime to the French Riviera, and he has to take with him, under unusual circumstances, his nephew, who is 11 and is really a street kid. So the kid and the old man go together on this journey. They don't really know each other, but they have to stay together. And here's Jason Culp with this fantastic dialogue between the two of them. The attitude on both sides is so clear.
Yeah, and so Jason Culp portrays the older professor, to be edgy type of guy, and also then can swiftly change into this young kid nephew, Michael.
Right. And, you know, in these scenes of dialogue where they're going back and forth, it's instantaneous. He's two characters. It's as if there are actually two characters, two actors or more there. And that's one of the brilliance of the very good narrators.
I always wonder how they do that, whether they produce and edit and say, hey, do this whole scene with only, this particular character, and then we'll weave it in later where you do the other character.
No, they do it in real time.
They do it in real time. Wow. That is such a gift.
It is. And you have to, if you think about it, you have to be ahead of what you're saying. You have to know the voice that you're going to pull up for the, third, fourth person in the room who's about to speak before you actually say it. It's really a gift.
Denise called in from Viroqua, was walking to work, couldn't stay with us, wanted to know where you can find audiobooks in other languages.
In other languages. I think definitely she should try her library, because libraries have always been in the forefront of collections of audiobooks. And then the online sources. I think there's been more interest in having audiobooks in different languages.
What do you make of abridged audiobooks, that audiobooks deviating from the actual novel, for instance?
If you mean shortened abridged, they're actually abridged audiobooks are fairly rare.
Okay.
Now, almost all audiobooks that are produced are unabridged. I think in early years that was maybe a cost savings idea, but listeners, consumers that we are, didn't like them very much, and I think they wanted to have the entire book. But oftentimes you have something that is an adaptation of a story that may be written as a script, so that it is actually produced by the authors in a way that is not every word of the original text. It may be based on a text, but something like a play, The Walk in the Woods, mm-hmm. that's on our list, or Edge Dancer, the Brandon Sanderson, is an adaption of the story with lots of sound effects and music and full soundscape. And those things, I think, you find more often than a title that has just been shortened for length.
Okay. We're talking with Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, which reviews and recommends audiobooks. Jackie from La Crosse emailed to say, my recent favorite audiobooks are Summer of 69 by Ellen Hildebrand and The Murmur of Bees by Sophia Segovia. How about those books?
Well, that's, it's wonderful to have so many people calling in with favorites because there are so many choices. And Ellen Hildebrand is a great author, and her audiobooks are always a great success.
And Jeff from Oconomowoc wanted to make a book recommendation for Boomsday by William F. Buckley Jr. So there is another one, Robin. They're coming in from all directions.
Well, you've got lots of listening fans out there.
So for people who have never listened to an audiobook but are interested in trying something out, how do you recommend that they approach this way of listening? What type of open mind should they have?
Well, I think it's often good to stay within the genre that you like to read with your eyes. That may be a good place to start, or a title that you remember, for instance, The Charlotte's Web. I don't think that I've read Charlotte's Web with my eyes for a while since I did it with my own son. But, you know, something that you remember, it kind of, I think that might be a good place to start. But I often think that starting where you might take a book out, but this is an alternative to taking the print edition, trying that.
One more recommendation here from Sharon in Lac des Flambeaux. Hi, Sharon.
Hello. Another great morning program on my commute. I got kind of interested in audiobooks a while back, and the very first one that I listened to was Eudora Welty's The Optimist's Daughter.
Oh.
And she was the reader. She was the narrator. So I was just wondering, how common is it for authors to do their own books? But Eudora Welty, if anybody can just get another one of her novels with her narrating it, she has the most beautiful voice.
Oh, indeed. Sharon, thank you for that recommendation. Robin, we're short on time. Any reaction there?
Well, I think you do have authors sometimes. It's hard. It's hard work. So sometimes the author may try it and then say, maybe I'll pass this over to the professional narrators.
Robin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Robin Witten is founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, which reviews and recommends audiobooks. We have a link to Audiophile's best audiobooks of 2019 over on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.